echad bilvad tzarich sheyimtza b'metzias hamuchach v'ashalom ezeh. It's only one. One, only one. V'im sheyimtzu nimtza machirim v'yimotzu ela m'pnei shehu himtziyam b'ritzonai. If you find others, he had caused all those others. Everything has to come back to one, and he controls everything. We saw Lashon of the Rambam. Echad, yachid. Can someone finish that sentence for me? Echad, yachid, umiuchad. Echad, yachid, umiuchad. These are the three things. V'nimtzam kulam tuliyim bo v'loy metzuyim me'atzmam. Everyone's dependent on him, and they're not on their own. There's this idea of echad, yachid, umiuchad. And we explained that there's three different ideas, and I would like to try to explain. And this is what we were doing last time. I'd like to try to explain. I worked very hard on this for quite some time to try to understand it. There's one thing is echad b'metzias. There's another thing is yachad b'shlita. And third thing is miyuchad b'hanhoga. Echad, yachad, umiyuchad. It can't mean the same thing, or else what are we saying it over again just because it sounds good on a song? You know that song? Echad yachid umyuchad hayoi veviyye. Echad yachid umyuchad hayoi veviyye. You know that song? Echad yachid umyuchad hayoi veviyye. It's a good Hasidic nigga. Echad yachid umyuchad hayoi veviyye. Echad yachid umyuchad. Echad means he's echad b'metzias. Yachid is b'shlita. What does the word shlita mean? Control. Sholet is control. Shlita. Miuchad behan haga. So what are these three things? So we're trying to understand them, and we had said that perhaps there's three different types of makas. There's datzach, adash, ve'achav. Right, those three. The makas were broken up in sets of three. What's interesting is that you see there's a pattern. In the three, first Hashem comes and he gives Paro a warning. He says, "I'm going to do this because I want to show you." The first one is l'man teida ki ani Hashem mekerav haaretz. Then he gives a makah, and then he warns him again. The second makah, and the third makah just happens, and then fourth makah he warns him and he says l'man teida ki la Hashem haaretz. Second makah warns him. Third makah just happens. There's like a pattern about how the makas are working. It seems like there's three different sets of makas. Before number one, before number four, and before number eight? Before number seven. Each one of those, there's a proclamation. For one is Ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz. Two, Leman teida ki Hashem haaretz. Three, V'rosh teida ki ein kamoini b'chol haaretz. So there's three different things Hashem has to say. Maybe that's Echad, Yachid, Umiuchad. Echad, Yachid, Umiuchad. These three things. It's me. Only me. Just me. Echad, Yachid, Umiuchad. So we want to try to explain what these three things are. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid b'metzias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid b'shlita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid b'anhaga. So we're going to start with Yachid b'metzias. And Yachid b'metzias, I think, is to, just to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a koach me'al kol koach, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yachad b'metzias, means that in the reality all there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what causes all other things to exist. So therefore, if we get back to like where is the metzias, the yachad b'metzias is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In its reality, realizing that everything comes from Hashem. That's Yachad b'metzias. He's a koach me'al kol koach. What does that mean? For example, we have there's a word. Shem is Elokei Elokim. Elokei. I'm not sure if the second one's Kaddish or not. What is the word? There's sometimes we say Elohim Acherim. It's an interesting thing. We have a word Elohim Acherim. That's not the name of Hashem. It's Elohim Acherim. It's Avodah Zarah. But they're actually used the same word for Hashem. Shem is Elokim. Hashem is the power above all powers. The idea of Avodah Zarah started for sure, the Rambam says. Because people knew about Hashem. They just thought, look, Hashem, like, he delegates. He delegates. He gives the sun power, gives the moon power. He delegates, gives everyone power. So listen, let's say I was in a kingdom, and there's a king. I'm not going to get to the king. Besides, getting to the king might be too difficult. I'll go speak to one of the ministers. One of the ministers.
I'll talk to him.
He's got power. So, you know, I'll just go to him. I don't have to go to the king. Doesn't mean that I don't recognize that there's a king. Of course I know there's a king. So Avodah Zarah definitely started that way. It might have gotten like after a while, they just kind of like forgot about the king totally. But it started just with realizing that there's another power. Realizing that Hashem is Echad. Realize that every power that the sun has, the sun's power is really Hashem's power. Hashem is koyach me'al kol koyach. That's the first thing. The second thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yachid B'Shlita. Yachid B'Shlita means the following. If we look at the world, it would appear that certain things are running out of control. And that's the way people that do not have our Messiah understand. What I mean by that? There's another religion which is like a branch, whatever, is a copycat of our religion, where they believe in God, but they believe that like evil kind of like escaped and we're trying to like get it together, as if like what happens in the world that's bad is not from Hashem. How could it be from Hashem? It's bad. What religion is that? What? It's the largest religion in the world, I think. No, Christianity. Is it the largest religion in the world?
Christianity is the largest?
And they're not very religious. I mean, Muslims are much more pious, much more religious than the Christians. It's not hard to be Christian, you know what I mean?
Please, Father.
That's exactly it. That's all it takes. It doesn't take much.
What about Muslims?
Muslims are a very hard religion. It's a very hard religion. They pray five times a day. They prostrate the whole prayer. They for a whole month they fast, for goodness sakes. It's a rough religion.
And they're wrong.
Anyway, I guess evil just got away. It escaped. Because how could anything bad happen? It's not from God, obviously. So it's not from God. So it's almost like God doesn't have control. When bad things happen, it appears that God doesn't have control. Of course, it's not true. Now, when Mashiach comes, there will be bad things. Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be easy. Everything's going to be fun. There's going to be no bad things. And then it'll be obvious to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholeik, because everything's good. So Hashem is Yachid in the Shlita, means Hashem is alone in control. And when you think that, you know, there's this illusion of Hashem not being in control because there's bad happening in the world, then how could this bad come from Hashem? It's an illusion. We realize Hashem Echad Yachid, you're the only one in control. He's Echad Yachid. Echad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one that created everything. And Yachid is that nothing got out of his control. It's not like someone got away, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, like these sci-fi movies. I don't know that there is one. Probably made something like that. Someone made a robot, and the robot got out of control, and now it's coming to, like, kill the person that made it. Don't tell me which one it was, but it's got to be a movie like that, right? And now it's trying to dominate the world, and this guy that made the robot's got to try to stop it, and he doesn't know if he can, right? That's Hashem is the creator, and you might think that now it's out of control. He's lost his shlita. No, didn't happen. Yeah, that's not like, it's such a like bad perception of Hashem, as if Hashem is like can lose control. He doesn't lose control. Yes.
So does that mean like on a deeper level, all the evil that's happening from like our perspective is actually good?
So that's the third thing is miyuchad. Miyuchad is to realize that Hashem is actually running the world. And if that's true, then everything that looks bad is really good. It's actually good. Now, the one thing is, when everything is clearly good, you'll be obvious everything is from Hashem. That's obvious, because it's all good, everything is good. Wow, Hashem, you're doing everything, right? When Mashiach comes, there will be no bad. There's a medrash which we say over on Tisha B'Av. It's a very powerful medrash. And it helps my Tisha B'Av very much. The Medrash is that Rabbi Gamliel had a neighbor. She was an almana. And one night, a child was crying in the middle of the night. She started to cry. And Rabbi Akiva started to cry. I'm sorry, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was crying for the Churban HaBayis. Esther of Gifter, like, what is it? She's crying because she lost her husband. Her daughter's crying. Baby's crying because she doesn't have any food. Rabbi Gamliel's crying for the Churban, like, what? Am I because someone else is crying, therefore he decides he wants to cry also at the same time? That's about another pshat. The pshat is, why do we have these types of things where there's a baby that doesn't have food? Why is there such a thing as a woman that lost her husband? It's all the Churban. Everything is the Churban. Any pain and suffering that we have is Churban. When we have the Beis HaMikdash, there will be no pain and no suffering. None. Everything is just going to be good. And it will be obvious that Hashem is in control. But there's something else, which is Hanhaga, which I believe is to realize that even what looks bad is really good. So when everything looks good, so then, you know, then we could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is control of the world. But there's something which, realizing that Hashem runs the world, which means that even what looks bad, I can recognize that there's good in this. There's good in what looks bad. Which is what we were speaking about. Give me a second, I'll get to you. We're speaking about, I think, over Shabbos. Maybe some of you were at the Shabbos table. We're talking about that. That's really a very big nakuda in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe you weren't. Maybe I only said it when my family was there. We asked. There's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says that on the pasuk Leil Shimurim LaHashem, that Hashem made that the night that the Yidden left Mitzrayim, that the sun didn't set that night. It's an interesting measure. It's interesting. Why did the sun not have to set? What? Because they couldn't leave in the darkness. He wanted to that they should it should be bright. Why did Hashem make the darkness have light? And there's an interesting Arizal. The Arizal says that if a person eats maror l'shem shamayim, whatever that means, I think we'll explain that, it won't taste bitter. Pilei plaim, a miracle. Every one of us have a guarantee on a miracle. If you eat Mar L'Shem Shamayim, it won't taste bitter. Why does Hashem do that? What is this? I think the pshat is, what it means, Mar L'Shem Shamayim, means if you're willing to recognize that all of the challenges in your life, Hashem sent you and they're good, it won't taste bitter. It won't taste bitter. If you're willing to recognize that what, you know, what seems to be terrible darkness is really all from Hashem, then it just won't feel so dark anymore. And all of a sudden there's light. And that is the challenge that we have. Echad yachad, miyuchad. Hashem is miyuchad this way. It doesn't mean miyuchad. Everything He does is for good. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, even things that look to us like they're terrible, we don't understand why. But that's what we're saying. That's the highest darga that we reached over there in Mitzrayim, where we even harbored no ill feelings towards the Mitzrayim. Because, you know, it's all good. It's all good. It's good. I'm good. But a person can reach that madrega, and then he recognizes that everything Hashem does is for the good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga is good. Not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do good, He's in control, He could stop bad if He wants. But when the bad is happening, Hashem, that's really good. That's Hashem's hanhaga of good. It's above our understanding. We don't understand how something like that can be good. But it is good. Yeah.
I don't know if this is on topic, but what about like the not good things inside of us? How can we say that? Like if we do anything, we feel a certain way that's not good, or if we do anything that's not good, how can we say that's not good?
So Rav Tzadok, that the other one was quoting before, Tzadok says the following thing. Let's take, for example, not Malkiel. Yeah, I'm sorry, Michal. Not Malkiel, for example. But let's take me, for example. I have a lot of negative tendencies. And when I was younger, I got into a lot of trouble. I'm not going to tell you guys about it, and you're not going to ever know if I'm telling the truth or not. But let's just say I was. Let's say I did. Let's say I got kicked out of high school when I was younger, 3 times. You'll never know if I really did or I didn't. But I could say it now, and I'll try to half keep a straight face, half smile, so you're not really sure. Do I do it? Then I do it. You'll never know.
Wait for the biography.
What? Wait for the biography. You won't be in there either. In the biography, I was a tzaddik from the moment I was born. So now, the moment a person makes a decision to do tshuva for all of his mistakes, then everything that he did becomes a mitzvah. Because if you do tshuva me'ahava, all your aveis become a mitzvah. Which means that it was an opportunity for you to turn all of that around. Turn everything around. And if you did it, then you're amazing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you an opportunity for greatness that you wouldn't have otherwise. Turn all of that around. So if a person has an opportunity to turn that around, I'll give you an example, okay? There's tzaddikim gemurim. There's a tzaddik gemurim. They grew up in Bnei Brak. The mamish never saw a dirty magazine. They never saw a magazine with a picture of a woman bechlal in their life. They never saw a Mishpacha magazine. Hashem Yerachin. You know, I remember there was someone who was shrying against Mishpacha magazine. He's never let it into you. He was screaming in Young Mishpacha magazine. His tray from right. There's people that they talk. It's like mamish. They never saw such a thing. They never saw anything. Or have you ever been to the stores in Bnei Brak? They have There's nothing. No, even garnished. No shemets of seeing a woman bechlal. And then you have someone who grows up in five towns, and he's walked down Central Avenue, and he's been exposed to a terrible amount of things that he doesn't necessarily. And then he comes to Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, and he makes a move. He makes a big move, and he starts shtelling to the culture, and he pulls himself away from that stuff, and he fights against it, right? And he becomes an Erlecha Ben Toiro who's only has his heart is in the right place. He keeps his eyes to himself. Who's on a high madrega? A person from five towns. Bali Suffolk. So growing up in five towns is an opportunity for greatness that someone in Bnei Brak doesn't have. Okay, you have to capitalize on the opportunity. But it's an opportunity for greatness. Yeah.
They say that one of the main reasons we're created is to fix midos that are wrong with us, to make ourselves pretty perfect in our midos.
Right.
But if when Mashiach comes, everything's going to be good and there's going to be nothing bad, then what's the point of being alive?
Well, that was the point, to fix your midos so that you can, in the time of Mashiach, you can be an enemy of Shechinase. And it won't be, you'll ki'ilu feel like you deserved because of all the work that you did on your midos. But in Achanami, once you hit Mashiach, we're not really working on anything anymore.
It's a different
it's
reason.
It's game over. What?
It's a different reason while we're.
That's the reason why we're here in Olam Hazeh. That's not the reason why we're in Olam Haba.
Will you really enjoy up there in Olam Haba if you could always compare yourself to the guy in front of you? Even if you got to high Madrigal? You could always compare yourself to the guy in front of you.
So you're saying you're going to be jelly?
Yeah.
Jelly. So I half asked this question to Mayor Stern. In the car on the way back from a wedding. And he told me the following answer. I asked him in a different format, but I asked him the same type of question. Here's the following question. He said the following answer to me. And I think it's a very, very insightful answer. He said, if someone runs a marathon, and he wins, and they hang the medal around the neck of the person who won the marathon, are his feet going to get upset? Why are we hanging the medal around his neck? The medal should be on the feet. I don't want to work so hard. The neck didn't do anything. You're going to get upset? You won't get upset. Why? Because it's us. So you're going to be part of Knesset Yisrael. Where exactly you're going to be in that formation, you're not going to be jelly. That's the way Mayor Stern understood.
You see the person in front of you?
Some people you see. Some people, they say the story about Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That I think it might have even been Chazon Ish. So you should go see him now, because in the Olam HaEl you're not going to be able to see him. He's going to be way up there. Chaim Kanievsky is. I don't think we understand what a matana of Chaim Kanievsky is. How he doesn't belong in this generation. Bichlal. It's very hard to even say that we've had in the past 100 years anyone like Chaim Kanievsky. It's hard to say. He's Stipler's son.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the Chazon Ish's uncle said, you're not going to be able to see him. And it was the Chazon Ish's Gadol HaDor, his uncle. I don't know, Chaim Kanievsky's from a different place. He's he's talking about someone who learns 21 hours a day. How does he do that? It's a whole different, he's something else. It's hard to know. Anyway, kids are, you know, he's like a little bit out of the conversation.
Kids are,
let's just do Zion. Be'ez Hashem, next week we're going to continue. We're going to finish up. Nimtza klal hayadiyas hashrashiyas ha'elas shish. Comes out that there's six klal hayadiyas, six. V'chatzmu amadeh ha'shesh, the six important foundations. Heim. Amitas mitzyusa yisparach, the truth of Hashem's existence. Shleimusai, Hashem is shalem in a way that we can't even like understand. He's full, complete shleimus. Hechrich, he matzai, that he has to exist. He yaisa bilti nitle bizulasa, and he doesn't depend on anything else or anyone else. Pshitusai v'yichidusai, the pshitus, like the simplicity, and the yichidus, and the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is all the things that we spoke about, Perek Aleph. Mazel tov, my friends. We will continue with Perek Beis. Some of the things that we'll speak about in Perek Beis. Perek Beis has a lot of interesting things in it. A lot of different ideas. It speaks about the tachlis of a person being created. It speaks about what type of kavanah a person should have when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It speaks about this idea we spoke about what's called Nahama di Kisufa, which is a person having the bread of embarrassment, Shilote Boshes Namakablam, however you want to say it. Speaks about all different types of ideas, Schar Mitzvah, anyway, Olam Haba, a lot of good stuff in Perek Beis, starting Beis HaShem Alina the next week.